Hello and welcome to the podcast episode number 127, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I'm your host, Jesse Wilson. With me this week, as always, is
Eric Walquist. Thank you for listening, listener.
Hello, Eric.
Hello, Jesse. How was your week?
It was good.
Yeah.
I had a good week.
Yeah. Are you feeling good?
Went to my mom's house to watch the football.
Yeah, I saw the picture of you and your babe. You posted it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I did. If you want to see that, swing by facebook.com/personalarrogance. You can see a picture of me in my super cool 12th man jersey with my baby in her baby size 12th man jersey.
Yeah, and she's got the new jersey.
Yeah, she has the updated one. Mine's old school.
Yeah.
Mine's Reebok. Hers is Nike. It represents the generational differences between the two of us.
Right.
But, you know, there's a common thread.
It's nylon.
Exactly.
She's like Atlantic City. She's New Jersey.
Yeah, that I did not get that one at first.
I think that joke belongs in Atlantic City.
I'm here all month, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm here all year.
Hopefully getting paid at some point.
I just hang out. I had a good week. I went to a really fancy restaurant last night. It's called Lark here in Seattle. It's the type of place that you get like tiny little portions and you get to try a bunch of different stuff. But
that's the biggest trick.
What?
Like how did that happen? You pay more money for less food?
Well, but it's like locally sourced and it's higher quality food than I've eaten in the past year. It's like,
right. Like
everything is delicious and it's about tasting. It's not about the gluttonous American, I'm going to shovel everything I can into my mouth.
But you can't even fill up.
Yeah, I definitely filled up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like we probably just
had to eat your wife's food also and the table over. You ate their food.
Well, I think we did like 14 courses of like small plates. I'm serious.
Wow.
It was good. And you get to try, like, if I were to put everything I ate on one plate, it would be like a heaping plate.
Right.
But it's just like split up.
So it is about gluttonous American overconsumption.
But it's the appearance of not, which is what's important. But
it's having your cake and eating 14 servings of it too.
Exactly. Yeah. My favorite part of it was that I kind of got to defeat the Kraken a little bit. They had a dish that was baby octopus.
Oh yeah.
And they were just like these little octopuses and it was like the whole body. And you just pop it in your mouth and you eat them.
That's gross and sad.
They were delicious.
I do not condone this behavior.
You got to get them before the beak develops. Well, they're nice little chewy morsels. And they were delicious.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. How do you even catch baby octopods?
You use baby octopus bait.
Oh, okay.
You put out tiny little sailing ships into the ocean, and then they attack them. It's the cutest thing ever. And then you just pull them out of the ocean and eat them.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. It makes them feel strong right before their demise.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so I get to eat a fancy meal, and it was paid for by my mom. It was her Christmas present to my sister and I.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love a mom meal.
Mom meal. So yeah, it was fun, but, I want to get to listener feedback because we got a ton of it this week. But before we do, I have to do the dedication. This episode is going to go out to the most snubbed person in Seattle, sports wise, and that's Edgar Martinez.
Mm.
Did you hear what happened today, Jesse?
No.
For the fourth year in a row, Edgar Martinez has been not voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And, in fact, he only got 36% of the vote, and you need 75% of the vote to get in.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of a weird year. Actually, nobody got into the Hall of Fame this year because nobody got 75% of the vote. But it's kind of a shame because a lot of people aren't voting for Edgar Martinez because he was a designated hitter, which I think is a lot of bunk. It's like, nobody's sitting back saying, well, you know, Hank Aaron, we voted him in because he broke the single season home run record. But, you know, it was really his fielding that tipped the point, you know? And you have, Edgar Martinez, he's in the company. He's one of only 10 players in Major League history to put up 300-plus home runs, 500-plus doubles, 1,000-plus walks, post a batting average of 300 and an on-base percentage of over 400. All of the other people who have done that are either in the Hall of Fame or they're named Chipper Jones, Manny Ramirez, Albert Pujols, or Todd Helton, none of which are eligible yet. So this is my rant, and I think we all need to get behind Edgar Martinez. Because if there are closers in the Hall of Fame, and closers only work for one inning, like every fourth game, and a designated hitter actually plays every game and hits four times, I think it's just National Leaguers. It's just bothering. It's irking me, and therefore I'm dedicating this episode to Edgar.
Wow. I don't give a shit about baseball.
Baseball's great!
Eric, it's football playoffs, and you want to talk about stickball?
Well,
maybe, I don't think so.
Maybe they shouldn't have put the Hall of Fame vote
I'm
right there.
I'm rededicating this to Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson
or RG3's knee.
Oh, God. Or Mike Shanahan for leaving RG3 in the game when he was like hobbling like Tiny Tim.
That was hard to watch.
Yeah.
Hard to watch. Now that's a sport.
That is a sport. And guess what? Bring on Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of which, I want to get to some listener feedback this week. And first piece of listener feedback is coming from Kevin Salcedo. And, he's actually from Seattle, but he says, "Hey guys, thanks for all the recommendations for board games on the most recent cast. Over the holidays, I picked up Small World per your hype, still reading through the rules, but I hope to bust that baby out during an upcoming game night with friends. I can't recall if you recommended this one, but I also picked up Descent Second Edition. This game becomes highly recommended from a coworker. Looks interesting as it's a tactical game with some adventure FRPG elements into it. Also, who knew that serious board games might be making such a huge comeback socially? I mentioned that I picked up both games to a coworker, and a few hours later we had half a dozen of us plotting an in-office game night soon, playing Mage Knight. Aside from board games, what are your favorite general go-tos for card games? And we're not talking like CCGs like Magic. Personally, I dig Cards Against Humanity, as well as various flavors of Flux and Poo, and Guillotine. So stay arrogant. That's Kevin. He's right here in Seattle. So Jesse, there's a lot to digest there. First, good on him for picking up Small World. That's a good game. It's a good intro game for the people in your game group. Haven't played Descent. Have you played Descent?
No, I haven't. I've always wanted to, though. I hear it's quite good.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a D&D, like on a board, basically, from what I understand.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. But this is an interesting question. What are your general go-tos for card games and not CCGs like Magic?
Of course, Citadels,
right.
Guillotine I love,
mm-hmm.
Battle for Hill 218, or right. Kind of ones we've mentioned before. Blood Bowl Team Manager, I always come back to that. That's like a deck-building card game I really enjoy.
Yeah, that's a game that I don't think we talk about that game enough. That's a great game, and it is card-based. There's some other elements to it, but it's card-based.
Right.
Also, there's Dominion. I don't know what your opinion is on Dominion.
Oh, I like Dominion. Yeah, yeah. Definitely get Dominion, dude.
Dominion's good. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Dominion. I just think that there's a lot of other games that are in front of that one for me. Like, if I had any game I could play.
I don't know that you've played it enough, though, is the thing.
Maybe not. And I'm pretty sure
I've only played, like, the most basic card set. Mm. And there's, like, a ton of different ways to play that game.
Oh. Well... Yeah, and there's a ton of expansions. Those are ours. We're right up there. I haven't played Flux yet, and I haven't played Poo, but I know Poo is that monkey game where you throw poo at people.
Right. Yeah. I think I've played that once. Mm-hmm. Flux is fun. It's not much of a game. It's more of like a social thing. But
oh, okay.
I mean. It's one of those games where it's like you don't go into it trying to win. You just have a good time while you play it.
Yeah, kind of like Munchkin.
Oh, God. Don't get Munchkin. Don't go down that road. That's the most dangerous road in board game.
Is the Munchkin road.
World.
It actually goes right along with the yellow brick road.
Yeah.
Because there were Munchkins there.
Except it's a money pit.
Yeah, it is a money pit. But I also
and there's no Tom Hanks.
The cool thing with Flux is that they do have a lot of cool flavors, and I do want to try Back to the Future Flux just for the hell of it, because I love Back to the Future so much.
Oh, I bet you'd really enjoy that.
Yeah. So now, speaking of Georgia, I want to give a shout out to Chris Rogers. He says, "Hey guys, thanks for the shout out. I have been trying to tune more people into your cast just to even hear my shout out about how much I love Magic and what you guys think about it. For my favorite cards and formats, I love constructed formats like Standard and Legacy, and my favorite card of the day is Sphinx's Revelation, which allows you to draw X cards and gain X life. Also love all the beer talk, but I'm from the South, Georgia to be exact, so we just buy cases of Natty Lights and PBR and go all night and day. Again, thanks for the shout-out, and go Broncos!" Rooting for what? The Broncos.
Okay.
He didn't go Falcons, and he's from Georgia, so we got to give him some credit.
All right. I would like to see the Broncos go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't want to play them in the Super Bowl, though.
No.
I'd rather play any other team in the AFC or other than the Broncos.
Yeah, that's why they might end up going. But it would be so fun, because as I've said before, on Super Bowl weekend, yes, Eric and I are going to be in Boulder, Colorado. So that'd be a lot of fun to be in the home state of the rival. Speaking of which, that Friday, what is that? Is that February 1st?
That's February 1.
At 8 o'clock, yes. Avery Brewing Company, the tasting room. We will be there with Aaron and Jim Jones of the Bald Move Network for a little fan meet and greet.
Yep. So come there. If you live in the Colorado area, come up, drop on by and have a beer with us.
The Colorado area. Anywhere in the surrounding states.
Yeah, the Four Corners. and then finally, I want to hit this up in the email section. Dennis from Germany wrote us again, our German correspondent. He says, 2013 is upon us, and now I'm an official member of the Panfi movement. Wonder if it still exists. For those listeners who don't know, the Panfi movement is a personal arrogance nerd fitness initiative. It's something that we talked about a lot, and then we stopped talking about it because I stopped doing it. But I think Panfi's back, dude, because I signed up for the gym at work, and I'm actually going to go work out tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm going to Palm Springs in March, so I got to get my my desert bod. Want to look like Mad Max. Anyway, so he says, "I was at the gym the other day and listened to a bunch of old episodes of your wonderful cast and asked myself, what are your top five favorite movies?" I think that's got to wait for another show, but that's a good question. But then he goes into this. Another thing I want to bring up is the topic of censorship in video games and movies. For example, here in Germany, every game that is set in World War II lacks the symbology of the National Socialists, a.k.a. Nazis. It is absurd that we as Germans are forbidden to see those symbols, even if we are confronted with them in our history classes, etc. We should learn from our bad past, but are not allowed to do this in a video game? I'm calling bullshit on this one. Oh, the symbols aren't censored in movies, even in movies like Inglourious Basterds. It seems weird to me, but anyway. Another thing that is censored is the censored action in old classics like The Thing or Terminator. Until 2003, even the book version of American Psycho was banned from the market in Germany. Well, I'm complaining too much. I guess that's the price you pay for nudity on free TV. And, you know, Dennis, I think it's a fair trade-off.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough, but I mean, the Terminator and especially The Thing? What's wrong with that? Yeah, the whole video game censorship thing is crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's still part of this weird misconception that like video games are more of like an active form of entertainment, so people like go crazy when they, I don't know, when they play violent video games, they're going to start becoming neo-Nazis or something. I think we've said it in the past, but we're pretty much anti-censorship.
Yeah, and
in all forms.
And this is a big deal in Australia too. Like they won't even sell a bunch of video games in Australia, right?
Yeah, they like M-rated ones. I don't know. A lot of politicians have stupid ideas.
Basically,
that's kind of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's really interesting, and I wonder how they sold any video games between like 1998 and like 2006, because every one of those video games had Nazis as the bad guys.
Yeah, well, I think that what they can do though is they change it they'll change like the swastika. Mm. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe there's no swastikas in Axis and Allies. And for some reason, I think that was so they could sell the game in Germany.
Yeah, they use the Iron Cross.
Yeah, because you can use that black, white, and red cross thingy.
Yeah.
But you just can't use the swastika itself. So
interesting.
I don't know. What I do know is that they won't buy stuff with swastikas on them on the Pawn Stars pawn shop.
Oh, well. Good, but do they have Battletoads?
I don't know. We should call and find out.
All right, and we have one more listener feedback. This was a voicemail, and I want to play it right now.
Hey, Eric and Jesse, this is Josh from Texas.
And that's it. Josh,
how do you explain what happened there?
Josh, you sent us a 2-minute voicemail, and I loved it. We were very happy because we've been getting some very short voicemails. But unfortunately, there was some kind of muddled thing going on with your phone, and we couldn't really understand a lot of what you were saying. So please call in again. Next week, Josh from Texas, we'll have a segment for you. Just be sure that you're enunciating and you're speaking on a landline and you have, I don't know, a direct... It was weird. I don't know what was going on, but it sounded kind of muffled, and we couldn't really understand what was going on. But we do want to hear from you, and we want to hear from Josh from Texas. We want to hear from all of our listeners. You can call us 360-362-0024, and we will play whatever we can understand on the podcast.
Yeah, it sounded like you were talking into a raccoon's butthole and hoping the words would come out of its mouth, and then the raccoon mouth was next to a telephone.
Well,
or a tin can with a string on it.
If that's what was happening, I'd say that's pretty successful.
Yeah. It's called an Oklahoma two-way down there. Two-way radio is what I meant by that.
Yeah. So Jesse, before we do a little thing here, roll up, what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking homebrew, but I haven't even gotten into it yet because I'm drinking some hot tea and water because I may have taken a nap, and just woke up about an hour ago and still a little groggy.
Excellent. Great pod.
That makes for good radio.
Good,
podcasting.
A good raspy radio voice.
That's what they told you to do in your communication classes at university, right?
Exactly.
Make sure you nap right before you go on the air.
Yeah, or nap when you're on the air, if you're a sleep talker.
Done and done. I am, actually. I was watching Parks and Rec the other day, and Leslie Knope, like, falls asleep on the couch, and she's sleep talking and, like, jolting up in her sleep and stuff. Uh-huh. And Tasha was like, that's exactly what you're like when you sleep.
Great.
Apparently, I just jolt up and, like, look at her and mumble and go back to sleep.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm a nightmare.
Yeah, I think we're all at the point in our lives where, like, we're realizing that we're getting older, and the older you get, the weirder you get. This is what I'm learning. I'm drinking Pyramid Snowcap. This was brought over for the football game last weekend. MVP of Life, Jordy Hoyt, brought it over to watch the game, and I'm sipping the sweet flavors of Pyramid Snowcap before it goes away. All right.
Yep.
Jesse, let's do a little tiny matter roll-off. What do you say?
I say, yeah, but I guess we'll get to this. We have a little bit of feedback on our Facebook page, too.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I've got a plan.
Okay.
But right now...
I trust in you.
All right, great. Right now, we're going to roll a 20-sided die, see who gets to speak first on the podcast, and here we go.
Eric, I rolled a 16.
I rolled a 4. You're up, buddy.
All right, well, I do want to get to another piece of feedback, which is this week's Connect the Dotsy from Roger Dotsy.
All right.
And he wrote in and said, I was disappointed you did not provide a best of 2012 segment. And we've done these best ofs in the past.
That's true.
So he wrote in and gave us some suggestions. So I just figured that we should do that.
I like it. You know, I actually thought about doing a best of, but then I forgot.
I thought about it too, and then I thought I should go to our last best of and re-listen to it so I could do all the same topics, and then I was like, screw that.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about, I don't know, boner pills or something.
Yeah, probably more.
So
anyway, what are the categories?
Well, we're going to do, and you're gonna chime in here. I'm kind of catching you off guard, but again, obviously I'm not a huge fan of pre-production.
Mm-hmm.
Commercial of the year, color of the year, food beverage of the year, animal of the year, fictional character of the year, and this is where I decided to go off the rails a little bit and add my own spin.
Ah.
I'm at best use of an accent.
Okay.
best beer.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we have to do this. We did this in last year. Ginger of the Year.
Yeah, I was gonna tag on Ginger of the Year, because that's a PA tradition.
Yes.
All right, so first up.
Why don't we get into it mm-hmm. with Commercial of the Year?
Okay.
I'm nominating mm-hmm. The J.G. Wentworth commercials.
It's my Are money, and I want it now!
Exactly! Specifically, the one where they're yelling out the window, it's my money and I want it now. Mm-hmm. But they followed up that genius. I didn't think it was possible
uh-huh.
to make two commercials of such caliber, one after the other. There's also the one where they're on the bus and they're singing opera, and it's like,
oh, yeah.
I have a structured annuity and I need cash now. Call J.G. Wentworth. 877 cash now.
877 cash now.
Yeah, I like it for its creativity.
Yep.
I like it for the production value, the music and uh-huh. stuff. And I'm giving it bonus points for creativity. Not creativity. Sorry. Effectiveness.
No. Not creativity.
Not creativity. I'm giving it points for effectiveness, because I know that phone number. If I ever decide to cash in on my annuity,
yeah,
I'm calling 877 cash now.
That sounds great.
Because it's my money and I want it now.
I'm going to nominate the Samsung Galaxy commercial where the husband is going on away on a trip, and his wife and kids are there. He's getting in the cab.
Yeah.
And the kids say, "Daddy, we made you a video. Watch it on the plane." And he's like, "Thank you." And they like beep, and then the wife goes, "I also made you a video. Probably don't want to watch it on the plane."
See, I have a problem with this one mm-hmm. because I think there's probably way too many people making dirty videos and sending it to their significant others right now.
But the thing is, this man is in a committed relationship
uh-huh.
with his wife and two mm-hmm. children. He's contributing to the household, going on a business trip, and his wife is keeping the fire burning. And I say more power to you as a married couple.
That's true. Yeah. I retract my previous statement. They also made one. They followed up with a Christmas edition,
with the Santa edition.
Yeah,
which
that's a little racy.
Was not as excited about, mainly because it didn't make any sense. Because
for the sleigh ride.
Yeah, the elves say, "Watch it on the sleigh." He's like, "Thank you." And then, Mrs. Claus comes up and says, "I made you a video. Probably don't want to watch it on the sleigh." I'm like, "Why not watch it on the sleigh?"
Because of Rudolph.
Oh, Rudolph. Oh, those are
Rudolph with his nose so bright might see that.
Mm-hmm. Judgmental.
Uh huh. Very.
if there's one thing that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer song teaches us, it is that reindeer are very judgmental.
Yeah. And this is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and reindeer are super conservative. So the final nominee
mm-hmm.
is the Windows 8 commercial that basically just plays that song that's like,
yeah,
"Feels like I am just too close to love you."
Wah, 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 wah.
Mm-hmm. I think we've all seen it, and it was effective.
Yeah.
So how are we deciding this?
I say we put it up to the listener. If you feel strongly about one of these commercials, please let us know on our Facebook.
No, we're not doing that.
All right,
Eric, there's an envelope. You have an envelope.
Oh. J.G. Wentworth.
All right.
All right, what's the second category?
Okay, Color of the Year.
All right,
and the nominees are,
mm-hmm.
At least my nominees are Hi-Vis Green, mm-hmm. Wolf Gray,
mm-hmm.
and the Perennial All-Star Black.
Okay. I think those are good nominees. Why don't we flesh those out a little bit?
Yeah. Hi-Vis Green.
Okay.
There's the Sounders Green.
Right.
But most importantly, the bright green that lines the numbers on the Seahawks jersey. It's mm-hmm. the stripe running down the leg.
And it's the eyeball of the Seahawk.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, that piercing green. Wolf Gray,
yep.
the alternate jersey color for, the Seahawks again.
I really hope they wear that this week, because it's like a road uniform, and I was kind of disappointed they didn't wear it in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't know how they make those decisions.
Yeah. It's all marketing.
Yeah. Are they allowed to wear it more than once? I thought it was just like a one-off thing.
No, they're allowed to wear it. No, when they released the jerseys, they said it was their official alternate. And they've worn the pants separately. They've worn the gray pants this season without the gray jersey.
Really? That's weird.
This has been Jersey Talk.
Anyway, and finally black because it's a classic.
It is classic. It's the color of my favorite type of coffee and my favorite type of Friday. I don't know. I think those are all good nominees. I'm going to go ahead and go for the wolf gray.
All right.
Just because it has the term wolf in it.
Yeah, the wolf is good. I also like the slate gray. It's cousin slate gray, Sounder slate gray.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So, food/beverage of the year.
Yes.
Nominees.
Yep.
Beer.
Yes.
Strong contender.
Mm-hmm.
Burritos.
Yep.
Again, strong contender. Mm-hmm. And finally, the bougiest selection here, New York strip steak. Delicious. My favorite cut of steak.
I'm going to go bougier, and I'm going to say baby octopus.
Disqualified.
It is delicious.
It cannot be nominated if it's also a live animal.
What? That's a New York strip steak was a live animal at one point.
No, I mean, baby octopus is also something you could use to describe a live animal.
I describe cows as New York strip steaks all the time.
Future New York strip steaks.
Look at that New York strip steak. Look at the hooves on that New York strip steak.
I guess burrito just means tiny donkey.
Yeah, I always thought that was weird.
It is really weird.
I'm going beer. I think beer is it.
All right. So next category, animal of the year.
Uh-huh.
This first nominee has made a big impression with Reddit. It's been a big year. The internet's been good to it, and that's house cats.
Definitely.
Second nominee, one of my all-time favorite animals, corgis.
Okay.
And thirdly, they're large, they're in charge, they're elephants.
I'm going to go larger and charger, and I'm going to go with the giant squid.
I guess baby octopus. This is the category for baby octopus.
This is the category. the reason being is that they actually videotaped a giant squid.
That's true.
Yes.
That's happened in the past.
No, this is the first time it's actually been videotaped. Before it was just still pictures.
Still a camera.
But this sounds like the most terrifying expedition ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that they
did it. James Cameron?
No, yeah, they went down there and James Cameron was riding the octopus, riding the giant squid. But no, like, so they didn't want any lights or anything on this submarine to go down into the ocean because they thought it would scare away the squid. Uh-huh. So they didn't have any lights. They only had infrared lights and they had an infrared camera that would pick up those infrared lights. But basically these two guys got in the submarine. And they did 100 dives down to 630 meters. It's like 1,000 feet below the ocean in pitch black water and just sat there.
Wow. And it worked.
In silence. And it worked. Yeah. And what they would do is they would put out a smaller squid as bait and wait for a giant squid to come and attack them, basically.
Well.
But it worked.
Good work.
Good work. But the one that they found, the one they got video of, is only 10 feet long.
Oh, lame.
Yeah.
That's a medium-sized squid at best.
It's technically the species, but I mean, I want to see the 18-meter long giant squid.
Right.
We'll have something.
That's what we're all waiting for.
Exactly.
So, again, the nominees, house cats, corgis, elephant, giant squid, baby octopus. Eric?
I'm going to go baby octopus.
Wow. Stunning upset.
If you give it to me, I'll take it. What else we got?
That moves into fictional character, uh-huh. And the nominees are Bilbo Baggins.
Yes.
Had a big year.
Yep.
Or was that 2013? Doesn't matter.
That was 2012.
Okay. The lady from Prometheus.
Yep. Which one? Charlize Theron or Rumina Pace?
Rumina Pace.
Okay.
And Thor. I think Thor had a pretty good year.
I was going to say Thor.
Oh.
Thor had a great year because basically Thor took over the Avengers.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, Loki was the bad guy. Thor was my favorite character in that movie because he's basically like a god. He doesn't have any real reason to protect Earth except for Natalie Portman. And he's like the only one who's really a superhero, in my opinion.
What?
In like the truest sense of the word. I don't know.
I think they're all pretty super, except for Iron Man.
I just really didn't like that Captain America was like going toe to toe with Thor. It's like the shield is not so strong that it can stop Thor's hammer.
I think it is.
I don't know. Well, if they developed that technology during World War II, why isn't everything made out of that?
That's a good point.
Why can't they make iPhones?
They should have just made a tank out of it.
Exactly. Or an iPhone.
Really glass.
Really heavy. I'm going to throw in Batman on this one.
Uh-huh.
Batman had a big year, and I'm also going to throw in Bane.
Right.
Only because of the whole conspiracy that it was named Bane because Hollywood was trying to get Mitt Romney not elected.
It worked.
It totally worked. Sneaky.
That's what sunk that campaign.
Totally.
Congratulations.
It had everything else going for it.
Liberal Hollywood. We're like left coast.
I'm gonna go with Thor.
All right. Yeah. Good answer. Okay, so now this brings us into best use of an accent.
Mm-hmm.
And the nominees are Jesse and Eric for Northwest Nerd.
Okay.
A. Ron Hubbard for mm-hmm. Indiana Man.
Yep.
And Jim Jones for I'm Not From Indiana.
Oh, man. This is a tough one. I'm going to throw in Josh from Texas, just because it's an accent so strong that it's hard to understand.
The telephone lines committed suicide.
but I got to go Aaron, just because we've been getting
best accent ever.
We've been getting a lot of phone calls this year and like good half of them sound like Aaron. so I got to go Aaron on that one.
Yeah. Best beer that brings us to.
Best beer?
I have two.
Okay.
Actually I have three. Snow Cap Winter Warmer.
Yep.
Which you're enjoying now.
Drinking it right now.
Rumble Oak Aged Pale Ale.
Uh-huh.
And Red Chair Northwest Pale Ale by Deschutes.
Oh god, I love Red Chair.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that to come
back. Yeah, it's coming up. My favorite spring seasonal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to throw in Twilight Summer Ale, also from Deschutes.
Oh, yeah, that was so good this year.
Really good. Deschutes was hitting it out of the park this year.
Yeah, for sure.
What else? I feel like you have to go seasonals on these.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. So I think that covers the bases.
I think so.
So for me, it's between Snowcap, Twilight, and Red Chair. Really narrowed it down. I'm just gonna throw my hat in the ring because I love winter seasonals so much, and because I've tried more winter seasonals than any other seasonal, I'm gonna give it to Snowcap.
Mm. Well, the correct answer is Rumble, the Oak Age Pale Ale.
Oh, okay.
That was so good. and that brings us to our final category, Ginger of the Year.
Yep.
Eric, I only have two nominees.
Okay.
Maybe you can help me out. Emma yes. Stone.
Okay.
Who is doing big things for ginger sex appeal.
Uh-huh.
And Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket.
Andy Dalton, good. Andy Dalton, real good. I got a couple. Jessica Chastain. Do you know who this is?
I don't believe I do.
She was in like every movie this year. Most recent one, Zero Dark Thirty.
Uh-huh.
So I gotta throw her in the ring. And I think she's doing more for the ginger sex appeal.
What's her name?
Jessica Chastain.
How do you spell that?
J.
Well, yeah.
Chastain. Chastain, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a looker.
She's a looker. Plus, I'm pretty sure Emma Stone said when she got the Gwen Stacy job that she's actually a natural blonde and she dyes her hair red.
I don't believe that.
That's what
her manager told her to say.
Ah. I also have to throw in the ring Blake Griffin. Do you know who this is?
I don't think so.
He's like he's the center for the Clippers. He's a basketball player. I think he's in Subway commercials.
Is that red hair?
It's like, I don't know what it is.
It's like brown.
It's red brown. I don't know.
It kind of looks like Philip Seymour Hoffman a little bit. not Philip Seymour Hoffman. John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like Dr. Steve Brühl.
Yeah. I think can I think of anybody else? I don't know. Ginger of the Year is a tough one because you really want to make sure you give it to the right person.
Right. Last year's winner was Shaun White.
Yeah, Shaun White.
For new listeners.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go with Andy Dalton.
All right. I think that's the right answer.
Yeah.
He got the Bengals to the playoffs.
Right.
And he's got that bright red hair.
That's the great thing is like he takes off his bright orange helmet to reveal bright orange hair and bright orange skin.
Yeah. Bright orange skin. What he needs to do next year, though, is to dye the Bengal stripes into the hair.
Yes. He does. Oh, my God.
That would be perfect.
Yes.
So, congratulations, Andy Dalton. You take home the biggest prize.
Yeah.
Ginger of the Year 2012.
There you go.
And, look forward to seeing what you can do in 2013.
Yeah, dog. Okay, now we're going to move on to my first topic. And my first topic this week comes to us from the annals of Reddit. And also from BBC News. This is a story about a father concerned about his child. And let's just say he disagreed with his son's lifestyle and hired hitmen to kill him.
What?
Online.
Wow.
A man in China hired virtual assassins to hunt down his son in online video games and kill off his avatar, according to local media.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
That's so funny.
The man, named by the Kotaku East blog as Mr. Fang, was concerned about the amount of time his 23-year-old unemployed son was spending online. He hoped his actions would deter his son from playing the games, he is reported to have said. It doesn't really say whether it worked or not, but I'm thinking it probably wasn't that effective.
I don't know. It depends how the game is structured. If, like, the guy can't get anything done because he's constantly being killed, that's a great idea.
Actually, yeah, that would be a drag. But if it's a game like Halo, like, that's just what everybody's trying to do anyway.
Well, I'm guessing it was an MMO.
Yeah, I think it was World of Warcraft. I don't think they name it in here, this is very interesting to me. First of all, I love the idea of an online assassin.
Yes, I do too.
Online assassins for hire.
.com. 877 online assassinations for hire.
Right. 877.
My son plays too much Halo and I want him to quit.
I'm sorry. It's like the jokes have already happened. I'm laughing so hard. It's interesting though. Like, I am terrible at Halo, but I understand that I will die numerous times per play. So I don't know. I just don't feel like this is going to be very effective.
Well, it depends on what the game is, because in something like World of Warcraft, it could totally work.
So, explain to me how World of Warcraft works, because I've never played World of Warcraft.
Well, there's basically three types of areas. There's safe ones, which are like the main cities, like if you're if you're on the Horde, like Orgrimmar, the Orc capital, that's safe. Like, if the Alliance rolls in there, and starts, they can like start killing the NPCs and stuff, but unless you attack them, they can't attack you.
Oh.
Then there's neutral areas, and if you're just like out minding your own business in one of these neutral areas and Alliance rolls up on you, they can kill you. There's nothing stopping them except your ability to defend yourself. So if you got a bunch of stuff you need to do and it's in an area that's not safe, which most of it is, you have to go into neutral or hostile areas to get stuff done, then this online assassination plan actually totally works.
Well, so this is interesting to me. Are there actually like douchebags who do that or just walk around and try to kill people all the time?
Oh yeah.
Ugh.
It's fun. It's called ganking. Gotta gank some noobs, buddy.
Great.
That's part of the appeal of World of Warcraft is the danger of the world. And like, if you have a guild, you know, that offers some security. You can roll out there with multiple peeps. And sometimes it totally escalates. There'll be like a bunch of butthead paladins like killing noobs out in the borderlands. And then you talk about it on the world chat and you get a posse to roll up. And then they'll call other people and it totally escalates into like a battle.
Huh.
It's cool. And then sometimes you can also, like, get enough people, you can roll through whole cities and kill all the NPCs.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Sounds cool, man.
Yeah, so assassinate that buddy.
Well, this is the update. It says, despite being sick of getting killed every time, Zhao Feng, who is the assassin, decided to stick up to his father and tell him how he felt. He was quoted saying, "I can play or I cannot play. It doesn't bother me. I'm not looking for any job. I want to take some time to find the one that suits me." Hearing his son's earnest plea, Feng said that he was relieved. It's unsure if Feng has called off his assassins or if Zhao Feng has found a job. One thing's for sure, Feng's way of deterring his son from playing games might not be one of the best ideas to come out of China recently, particularly as reactions to gaming and internet addiction have been very extreme.
I'm not looking for a job because I'm taking time to find one that suits me.
He's not looking for any job.
Oh, just any old job.
Right.
Which, I see.
To which I
say, the right job.
Could he do gold farming? I'm just saying. Like, maybe the dad.
Oh, God.
Maybe the dad needs to stop hiring assassins and start hiring more gold farmers.
Yeah. Dad, I'm not playing the game. I'm not just playing the game. I make $42 an hour doing this. I'm a gold farmer. That's what I do. You're playing too many games, son. I make more money than you do.
I literally bought everything in this house.
I bought you a car last winter.
Oh, man. This is very interesting. Jesse, do you think you could be an assassin in a game? Are you good enough?
Because
I know I'm not. I'm terrible.
No.
Okay.
But I am a big enough jerk that I will kill noobs that I see rolling around.
See, I don't think that it's necessarily that you need to be good. You just need to be annoying. I think that's the thing. It's more of an annoying than an assassin.
Yeah. There's no laws against that.
Right?
Could you hire someone to just be a total annoyance?
Annoyance Creed.
Yeah, I'm paying you $200 a day. Don't break any laws.
Don't break any
laws. Just be a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah. So that's what all those guys on the bus are doing.
Oh, that's what it is. You're caught up in a secret war. That's what the mafia does now.
Yeah.
They've toned it down. They just annoy each other now.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
You received the kiss of annoyance.
Yeah. All right, let's do some trivia.
Godfather does kind of sound like Gold Farmer, though.
That's true. So I'm going to roll a six-sided die to see which category of Trivial Pursuit we're doing this week. I roll Arts and Literature again, which I don't think we should redo.
Okay.
All right. Rerolled. It's a one. It's geography. One of my favorite cat categories. Favorite cats. Jesse, this one's for you. Please play along at home. What two states contain the furthest separated points in the U.S.?
What two states contain? So the two points between states?
Well, what it is, so it's a weirdly worded question, but it's the furthest separated, think about the farthest separated two points in the U.S. What are the two states that those two points are in?
I'm going to say Maine and Hawaii.
All right, I'll go Alaska, Florida. Florida and Hawaii.
Stars above.
Stars above. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. How does that work?
I don't know. Florida must stick out further than Maine.
Yeah, but Maine, you'd think like the diagonal of it.
Yeah, but the angle of Hawaii, it's probably not that severe of an angle change.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. This is one of those things where, like, if you fly over the North Pole, you can get to England in, like, 25 minutes.
Yes.
And it doesn't make any sense to me, but whatever.
I think it's 25 half hours. this question's for me. What is the world's largest sea? Largest sea. I'm going to say... Well, it's gonna be the Mediterranean Sea, right? When I say that's Mediterranean,
that's what I was going to say. I guess maybe it's something where like the Gulf of Mexico counts as one. I'll say the Gulf of Mexico,
the Mediterranean.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like, there's a South China Sea, but I don't know how big that is. Apparently, smaller than the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Jesse, this question's for you. What city rises at the head of the Nile River Delta?
Rises at the head of the Nile River Delta. Is that Alexandria?
I believe you're right. I believe it's Carthage, the former Carthage. But what's that city?
The former Carthage is in Tunisia.
Oh, it's in Alexandria.
No, sir, you're totally wrong.
Serious?
For Britney Spears. Carthage is in modern-day Tunisia.
Huh. All right. I'm going to go with Giza. Cairo, dang it!
Huh, weird.
Why didn't I say Cairo? All right, Jesse, this one is for me. You need the steel to tie. What continent has the lowest, highest mountain? I'm going to say Australia.
Oh.
It's Ayers Rock, right?
I'll say Antarctica.
Okay. It's Australia.
Yeah.
Eric wins.
Yay!
Jesse doesn't win everything this week, but you did win the roll-off, so what's your second topic?
Okay, for my second topic, I want to talk about a little thing that's happening in Boston right now.
Okie doke.
An emergency has been declared.
Ah.
Because of influenza.
Oh, I thought it was a shorty fire burning on the dance floor.
Well, there's two emergencies.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. The shorty fire. So there's a flu epidemic. Well, maybe not epidemic, but a flu emergency outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Boston, a scant 3 months away from PAX East.
Mmm!
And I think it's a recipe for disaster.
It is a recipe. It's a cesspool for disaster.
It's a writhing mass of stinky humanity.
Yeah.
A veritable breeding ground for influenzas of all variety.
Wow.
Swine, turkey, cumin.
Yeah.
So,
did you say cumin?
Yes. I said cumin.
That's a one spicy flu.
So you've gotten the flu before, but I'm wondering, do you get flu shots?
I don't get flu shots. I've had the flu once. It was the swine flu. And I got it at PAX.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If you're going, it might be a good idea to get your flu shot if you're going to PAX East.
Yeah.
I've never gotten a flu shot.
I've never gotten a flu shot either.
I find it weird.
I'll tell you
what. I don't think I've ever gotten the flu.
Yeah, I think maybe I should get one because I'm starting to ride the bus.
Speaking of writhing cesspools of human, grossness.
Yeah, I have to say, so last week, the episode itself was called Flick Sticker Knob. And I realized that this is not a uncommon occurrence.
You got more pickers.
More
American pickers.
More American pickers.
That's what that show should be about.
Oh, God.
It's just about you start filming this and then uploading.
Yeah, it's just about shaming people who pick their noses on the bus.
You're on American Pickers. Pick your nose, pick your butt, pick your nose, then your butt.
The thing I
in
don't
that order.
The thing I don't understand.
Otherwise, it's gross.
Like, I think we talked about it last week, but like, it's not just the picking, it's the eating. This is a common occurrence on the bus.
Really?
The
You're
pick and eat?
This?
Yes, the pick and eat. This guy
Weird.
Did it to me. This guy did it in front of, I feel like he did it to me. Because it was so gross.
Did he make eye contact and keep it the whole time?
No, this is it. So I was sitting in the seats. You know, there's like the two seats, right? And I always get a window seat because I get on the bus early. There's nobody on the bus. Mm-hmm. This dude sits next to me, and I don't make eye contact, but I, like, am looking out the window. It's dark outside, light inside, so I can see the reflection really well. And the dude's, like, he's got his thumb and his index finger both in his nose.
How? What?
like,
how is that possible?
In, one in each nostril.
What?
And he's riverboating. He's just, like, swirling around and then inconspicuously just putting the resting the fingers on his lip. And I almost puked.
This was right next to you?
Right, not 8 inches from my body.
Now that is some freaking courage. What if he escalates this? Is this guy like on the bus every day?
I haven't seen him. It's the first time I've seen him.
Okay. Cause you gotta be careful. Or he might try and put it in your mouth next time.
Well, I don't understand it either because this is like bus etiquette. So like, I get on the bus, there's not a lot of people on the bus. When I get off the bus, there's not a lot of people on the bus. All the people get on the bus in between and then it gets really crowded and it fizzles out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So toward the end, when it's fizzled out and there are open chairs all over the bus and you're sitting right next to me, you gotta move.
You have to.
You're more comfortable. I'm more comfortable. You can pick your nose over there and I don't have to be aware of it.
Oh, this is so gross.
Anyway.
I can't believe that happened.
Regardless, I do condone riding the bus. I have felt more refreshed. Like, you don't understand, you don't realize how much stress you're putting on your body driving in traffic every day until you stop driving in traffic every day. It's actually a very stressful thing.
Oh, yeah. I hated driving to work in Seattle.
Yeah, it's drag, man. Especially when you got hit on five. Anyway, so flu in PAX.
Yeah, be careful, nerds.
Be careful, nerds.
Get those flu shots if you're going to PAX East. I think it's worth it.
I think so, too. Take it from somebody who got swine flu at PAX. It's bad news.
So what you do is, by the second day, Saturday, people are going to start getting sick. They'll feel the symptoms. They're just going to want to hang out in the hotel, get some flu vaccines, and offer to trade a flu vaccination for their pass, the rest of the day, you can go for free.
I love the idea that you just think they're like, they hand out like syringes full of flu vaccines.
Yeah.
For trade.
Well, you can buy syringes.
Where are you getting the chemical?
You buy like flu vaccination?
It's just a placebo. Plus, I don't think that the flu vaccine...
Well, it's actually heroin.
I don't think the flu vaccine works once you have the flu. I think it's preventative.
You make a good point. But in their flu-stricken delirium, they're not going to realize that.
Your plan is flawed, but I like it.
It's actually, it's just 5-hour energy in a syringe.
God. 4 people were found dead at PAX this year.
Arms exploded.
Yeah, just their arms. I'm sorry. That's going to be the new craze in Major League Baseball is injecting 5-hour energy into your arms.
Yeah. It's not a banned substance.
Yeah. So I want to move on to my second topic this week. And it goes to our Facebook page. I really like this. We've been doing this lately of just, posting when we're going to record and letting people drop on topics as we, so we could talk about him on the show. So earlier today, Christian William Maurer posted, he said, I'm sure you were going to cover it anyway, but how about Steve Ballmer's purchasing of the Sacramento Kings and moving them back to Seattle? Any ideas for an original name, or should they stick with the Supersonics? So for those of you who don't know, Yahoo Sports today posted that a deal to sell the Sacramento Kings to a Seattle investment group, the same investment group that's building the new arena downtown, has all but signed the papers to sell, an NBA franchise back to Seattle. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah. There was a guy, I was, getting a shift drink after work, and there's a guy at the bar who was actually on a road trip from Sacramento, and he was he was all upset about it, but he was saying if the Sacramento Kings left, he wanted them to go to Seattle.
This is the problem.
He also thought that it might have been the Chris Hansen
from Dateline NBC.
Yeah.
And it is funny.
I dashed his hopes.
It is funny. So the investor is named Chris Hansen. He's an investment guy from San Francisco, grew up in Seattle. He's building this arena. But his name's Chris Hansen, like Chris Hansen, Dateline NBC.
It should be Dateline NBC Stadium.
Exactly. It should be, why don't you have a seat stadium? Now, if you don't know, he should start every press conference by saying, if you don't know, I'm Chris Hansen, from NBC. Anyway, but this is the problem that I have with it. It's like, we're a city that had our NBA franchise stricken from us, stolen, taken to Oklahoma City, where it was in the NBA Finals last year. Kevin Durant played his rookie season in the city of Seattle. And I remember the heart-wrenching feeling of that, having that happen to us. Now that's happening to Sacramento, but the problem is Sacramento doesn't have any of sports teams. So they don't have a Seahawks to root for. They don't have the Mariners to loathe over. They don't have the Sounders to get drunk at. They don't even have the WNBA Storm. They got nothing else in Sacramento. And now we're taking their only sports franchise. So I have some friends from Sacramento. I feel kind of bad about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bummer, but I mean, there's not going to be an expansion anytime soon.
That's
so
true. And the problem, I mean, it marks something that I think is very, very apropos for the NBA is to actually take teams and send them to large markets. Like, what the NBA has been doing is taking teams from large markets and moving them to small markets, moving a team from Seattle to Oklahoma City, moving a team from Vancouver, British Columbia to Memphis, Tennessee. Like, it should
There's
be
going... a Vancouver, BC team?
Yeah, the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Wow, I had no idea.
Back in the day, we had a great little rivalry up here. Vancouver Grizzlies, Seattle Supersonics, Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, and it's like the Cascadia Cup.
Exactly. And then the Grizzlies moved to Memphis, and the Sonics moved to Oklahoma City.
Crazy. I had no idea.
So, it's what they should be doing. There was talk of the Kings moving to Anaheim and also moving to Virginia Beach. But I think that, David Stern said that he felt bad about the way things went down in Seattle. I don't really believe him. I still think he's a creep. But he's the commissioner of the NBA, and apparently he had a hand in bringing the Kings up here. I don't want the Kings. I want the Thunder. The Thunder are good.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, Team A, like the Sonics moved to Thunder, or Oklahoma changed their name, and then
right.
Another team comes here and becomes the Sonics.
Right.
Seems kind of forced.
Well, it's by design. So when the Thunder did move to, the way this whole thing went down is that Clay Bennett bought the Sonics. And he's from Oklahoma City all along, only wanted to move the team to Oklahoma City. He moves them to Oklahoma City, but in the move, the Sonics had a lease on Key Arena for the city of Seattle that hadn't run out yet. So everybody was like, well, at least we can keep the Sonics here for the extent of the lease. Maybe we'll find somebody who wants to build an arena. We can move them in there. But then the mayor of Seattle, Greg Nichols, is like, nah, we'll just let him buy us out and move the team. But everyone, we get to keep the name Supersonics. They won't be the Oklahoma City Supersonics.
Right.
Which is just lame. Like, that was not the trade-off that we wanted. We didn't want the name of a team for no team. But anyway, they're moving back here. I'm happy that they're still going to be the Seattle Supersonics. I think it's good that we don't have to rename them. We don't have to become the Charlotte Bobcats. Although, the Seattle Kings works because they play in King County. But Jesse, Christian does bring up a good point. If they weren't going to be called the Supersonics, can you think of a good name for a basketball team in Seattle?
The Space Needles.
I like the
it's
Space
tall,
Needles.
We're tall.
Yep.
The Space Reachers.
The Space.
The Engineers.
The Boeing Engineers.
It works for Microsoft, too, software development.
I always thought it'd be cool if, when they're naming the new arena, if they call it the Boeing Fieldhouse. Because, Fieldhouse is a name for an arena, and it's right next to Boeing Field.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it would actually work out nicely.
Mm-hmm. You could go with, some sort of, keep the aviation thing alive, like, like the B-52s.
Yeah, the bombers.
B-12 bombers.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is, if they were named the Bombers, they're actually owned also by Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer. So that would actually work out.
Yeah, everyone's really excited about this Seattle Sonics thing, but I just can't really get into it.
It's also very like bittersweet for me because, like I said, I hate David Stern. I think he's a terrible commissioner. And I kind of wrote off the NBA. Like, I have not been following the NBA. I don't really give a shit about what's going on in the NBA because they spited Seattle, the city of Seattle, so much. In fact, I had no idea who any of the players were on the Sacramento Kings. So I went to the Sacramento Kings website today just to see. I was like, well, I have to acclimate myself to these players now because this is my team, basically.
Right.
So I guess now I have a team at least to follow in the NBA, but.
There have been people in Seattle who continue to wear, like, the basketball jackets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the big jackets, the Supersonics gear, and I'm happy for them. I think they'll be very, very pleased with this.
Plus,
I'm more excited about NHL. I really, really want the Seattle Sockeye.
Yeah, but I don't think we're gonna get an NHL team until the actual arena is built, because apparently there's no place in Seattle for them to actually play. Until the new arena is built. So I think it's going to be kind of like a Sounders situation where we'll build the arena and then a couple of years later we'll get an NHL team.
Right. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the last section of the show. Before we do our recommendations, I want to thank everybody who liked us on Facebook this week. You can find us on Facebook, Personal Arrogance Podcast. We got some new likes. We got Jason Cornelius. We got Chris Rogers. We got Angela Martinez. We got John O'Brien. John O'Brien, a big Pats fan. I'm guessing he's from New England, but he also has a little bit of a hookup on karaoke supplies, which I'm very excited about. Priscilla Torres also liking us on Facebook. A lot of likes. A lot of likes, a lot of love. I also want to thank James Patterson. He posted on our Facebook topic thread today. He said, how do you start playing a brand new complicated board game like Game of Thrones when no one has played it before? I think you gotta have somebody who takes the lead, reads the rule book, and then reads the rule book again with everybody else.
Yeah, I have a better answer.
What's that?
Because I've had to do this a lot of times, especially with Agricola. It doesn't really get more pieces and more complicated than that.
Right.
I have like a ceremonial deboxing.
Uh-huh.
Where I open it up, I punch out all the pieces, and then I set the board up as though I'm going to play.
Uh-huh.
And that way, it's like, usually the games will have like a components list. It'll be like 17 cards in the butthole deck. So I find the butthole deck and put it over there. And then it's like 28 cards in the Wienermobile deck. And then I do that one, and then it's like 16 dingus tokens. So like I find everything and then set it up as though I was gonna play, then read the rules, and then that usually gives me a pretty good understanding.
Yeah, that actually makes sense. I think any time that you're explaining a game, this is the way that I think it should be done. It's the first thing that you should tell people is how to win the game.
Yeah, exactly. And I got that from you, and it's made things much easier.
Yeah, this is something that rule books for some reason completely overlook. But the first thing you should say is, you win the game by, if you're playing Settlers of Catan, you win the game by getting 10 victory points. Mm-hmm. And then, when you're explaining how to gain victory points later in the game, when you're explaining it, people aren't like, what's a victory point?
Yeah, exactly.
People already know what a victory point is. It's how you win the game.
Yeah.
So first thing you do is explain how you win the game. The second thing you do is explain how to set up the game, and then you get into the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the pieces are, what everyone's looking at, and then, like, just kind of, I usually give out, like, general strategy, just, like, real general stuff. Like, if you do this, you're kind of probably going to be doing better.
And I think also, if you are playing a game for the first time and somebody is explaining the rules to you, you cannot get mad at them if during the course of the game they say, oh, yeah, you can't do that. Or, oh, yeah, this is what happens now.
This is bogus. Yeah. Table flip.
People are like, oh God, why didn't you tell me? It's because if I would have told you, you wouldn't have remembered it and it would have boggled your mind. And the first time you play a game, you're learning the game. You're not playing the game.
Yeah, true.
And that's that.
Well, there's also one from Jason Cornelius real quick.
Yes.
He asked, what do you think of Fantasy Flight Games? We love them.
Right.
But he says, I'm giving that X-Wing game a hard look, and I say give that a hard pass. We got the opportunity to play that at PAX Prime last summer, and it was a stinker. Rare miss for Fantasy Flight.
Now, Fantasy Flight, I think it's easy to say that they're our favorite publisher.
Right.
Arkham Horror, Citadels, they just do Red November, which I really enjoy. I don't think you played that yet.
Level Team Manager.
Level Team Manager, Battlestar Galactica.
Yep.
Just great games. Even a great game publisher not all of their games are great.
No.
I made that mistake early on. I played Settlers of Catan and I was like, oh, well, everything from Mayfair Games must be really good. Big mistake.
That's like the worst one also to make that mistake.
Yeah. I mean, there are other publishers out there. There's Rio Grande Games. They do some good games. They do Puerto
Rio
Rico.
Rio Grande is good.
They do.
Seaman does good stuff.
Yeah, and Days of Wonder is also another one that does some great stuff. But I think Fantasy Flight consistently has the highest quality. Plus, a Fantasy Flight game, you're getting a lot of really cool pieces, like a very comprehensive rule book. And even if the game kind of falls flat, you have a lot of cool things to look at.
Yeah, but I still say give X-Wing a pass. It's super slow. It doesn't really, it's not all that logical.
Mm.
Like, the thing is, like, you're deciding what you're gonna do based on a guess, and you're guessing what the other person's gonna do, and that doesn't really make sense in dogfights. It's like, I'm gonna veer slightly to the left. Well, earlier I already selected veering slightly to the right, so I guess I lost him because I decided to go slightly to the right and he went slightly to the left. There's no way I could have stayed on his tail.
Yeah.
It's a little silly.
Interesting. Okay, but like I said, this isn't a knock on Fantasy Flight, it's a knock on that individual game though.
Exactly.
A lot of other games you could get that you probably have more fun playing. So that's that. That's our Facebook page. You can also always write us an email, personalergots@gmail.com. You can send us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. That's 360-362-0024. But always, always, always go to baldmove.com, people. Baldmove.com is a great website full of great podcasts. We are one of them, but there's one for the ladies, is the Because Show. There's all of the... of course, all of the TV show podcasts that are up right now, recapping Breaking Bad, Justified, Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, and also a really cool thing. If you're like, hey, guys, I listen to your podcast a lot, and I would give you money, but I'd rather buy stuff on Amazon. Well, we've got something for you. Go to baldmove.com. There's the Amazon click-through link. And you can click on that, and then any shopping you do on Amazon, we get a little kickback for that. So that's a great way for you to support us without actually giving any money directly to us. You're just buying the things you would buy normally on Amazon.
Yeah, you're going to buy it anyway.
You're going to buy it anyway. Might as well give us a little kickback. But I have got to give a strong shout-out to The Because Show. I love The Because Show. Three knowledgeable modern feminists in Southern California doing it right. Very enjoyable, embarrassing stories, high highs, low lows, books, and maybe even a phone call or two from the Personal Arrogance guys. I love The Because Show, and it's like every episode you become more and more friends with them.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, that's so Geraldine. I love it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, can't recommend it enough. I listen to every new episode that comes out on Baldmove a Dead Cam.
Yep. Now I guess it's time to do some recommendation call it a cast. Jesse, what's your first recommendation?
My first recommendation, I know I'm way, way behind the ball on this one, but Parks and Rec. I just started watching it.
Oh, it's
and
so
I
good.
Can't stop. It's a good show.
When Parks and Rec first came out, I thought that it was just like a ripoff of The Office.
I thought too. I was like, just a Office clone pass. Yeah.
Could not be more wrong.
No, it's really good.
The characters are much more endearing. Everybody. Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Ron Swanson.
Right.
Aziz Ansari's character. Tom. He plays Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, Parks and Rec is good.
It's pretty good.
And it's on Netflix. My first recommendation this week is going to be a board game called Escape, the Curse of the Temple. Came out in 2012. Basically, it's a dice rolling game, and it's cooperative, and it's played to an audio soundtrack, and you're basically playing Indiana Jones trying to find jewels in a temple, and then escaping before the door closes you in and you spend eternity as a skeleton. It's pretty fun.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a good game. I think we kind of figured it out. There's like a base game, and then there's a more advanced game. I think as a group, we kind of figured out how to play the base game pretty quickly. But then the advanced game really gets the ball rolling. Pun intended there.
Yeah, good one. Reference.
But it's a good game, and I always love a good audio track. And it's got a good urgency to it, which I think is really fun. You're basically, it's all time-based, and you're just trying to roll dice as quickly as possible. So it's good. It's got a good sub, and it takes 10 minutes to play. So if you don't like it, it's over in 10 minutes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, what's your recommendation?
Grey Goose Vodka. I like it.
Do it. And my recommendation this week is going to be the Futurama movies that are also on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching those. I never watched them when they first came out.
Yeah. I think it's great. There's Ender's Game, which actually has a big D&D influence. There's right. The Beast with a Billion Backs. And there's two more movies. They're an hour and a half of Futurama. And why not?
Yeah, one's like something, the green something.
Yeah.
Anyway. The green something. It's a great, great, great movie.
All right. So, I want to leave our listeners this week. We'd like to thank you once again, as we always do, for letting us pour another hour of sound into your eardrums. This week I would like to, I'd like to end with a little shout out to our recommenders on iTunes, people who recommend us on iTunes. We love it when you do that. We always check that. And it's something you could do that helps out the podcast. It helps us get a little bit of exposure. But this one comes to us from no other than the John O'Brien, who has a cool karaoke setup. He says, another awesome podcast from the Bald Move Network. Glad to have found them from the Breaking Bad and Watching Dead cast. Funny guys and great topics. Thank you, John O'Brien. And you can always rate and review us on iTunes. But until next week, we'd like to remind you that wherever you go,
and whatever you do,
please stay
arrogant.